Morning, boys. Beautiful day.
It's been a big 24 hours for yourself and the team. Can I ask a question too? Was Jamie Carr in line to get the ride on incentivise in the Caulfield Melbourne Cup before all this blew up as well?
Oh, listen, she was certainly under strong consideration, but she obviously had other commitments as well. But unfortunately, that wasn't to be the case. And Brett was sort of front and centre, and he was in strong discussions too. So there was no decision made, but certainly Jamie was very much in the mix before this week's controversy.
Quick question on that. Do you think that three-month ban is fits the crime for both of these major jockeys and the apprentices?
Yeah, well, no, I don't. Plain and simple, I think it's too severe. They've done the wrong thing. But God, in the context of the crime, they haven't murdered anyone. And people have got to remember, this takes away their livelihood. They've been fined, and then they've lost their livelihood for 3 months. You know, I think that's unbelievable. And forget what time of the year it is. They haven't got a capacity to earn at all for the next 3 months. I find that absolutely staggering. I know we have this perception that we've got to protect racing against the community because we've been unbelievably fortunate. Were they stupid and silly? Yes, in what they did. But, you know, I just think it far outweighs what they've done. The penalty, and we just continually punish our headline acts in an industry where I don't think, you know, obviously they had to have some penalty, but 3 months, I thought that was unbelievably long and harsh for all of them. You know, two top jockeys, two of our top echelon, and two promising young riders. It's an unbelievable penalty for this time of the year, but we continually hang out our superstars to dry, and we push them out in the public domain when they've done something wrong. Why don't we promote some positives instead of the negatives?
Sounds like someone might have been in a similar scenario a while back. Pete, those jockeys, though, they can still earn through riding in trials and jump outs, and because they're going to need to keep their name out there. And you'll understand as well, after a period of time that you might have been suspended for, it's not necessarily bang straight back into action. It takes some time to build up a rapport with owners and trainers again.
Oh, for sure. It does. We're two of our headline acts in the face of racing, one of them, not there for our major time of the year. What other industry would do that? I know a penalty had to be put out there, but for the entire spring, God, that's unbelievable. And, you know, just put it in the context of the greater community. I know we're in an unbelievably privileged situation that we've been able to work and play, and yes, they put that at risk. How much risk, I don't know. I wasn't able to know what was going on or what happened, but they were at a 65-person engagement party. They weren't amongst 10,000 dickheads that marched down the main street of Melbourne the other day throwing rocks at coppers, who very few of them got fined, and I bet none of them lost their livelihoods too. They did a very stupid thing, but to penalise the industry, and I think that's what it does as much as anything, losing two of our superstars for the entire spring, I just think, no. Nah, not for me.
Moods, you
and
I will not.
You find something positive about it.
We won't discuss this because you're off your head about it. So,
Moods, you're in the opposite
about,
camp, Moods.
B Preble, throughout your Halcyon days, Brett was basically riding in Hong Kong. It's not a first time engagement, but there's not a lot of history there, is there? It's going to be interesting.
No, well, he owes me a big one because he cost me a derby many years ago, and 8 years, I reckon, slaughtered him in the Victorian derby, so he owes me a big one. But, listen, B. Preble, like, he's a world-class rider. He would probably be the first one to tell you he didn't have his heart into it when he first came back from Hong Kong, but you sort of sense an unbelievable hunger in him the last few months, and I think he's riding to match. So, discussions with previous trainer Steve Tregay and Bray and Ozzy, the new owners, I was quite forthright in the opinion of thinking that Brett could certainly get the job done for us, and he assured me that he could ride, thinking around that 52.5 to 53.5 kilo mark in the cups coming up, he could do that. I didn't have any hesitation. So he's a world-class rider. He's been there and done it, and happy to have him on.
Will he come down and do much work with the horse this week?
Hope not.
No? You don't want to see him till race day?
No, listen, we're pretty set in our ways. Possibly the horse, I'll just have a look at him over the weekend. He might have a spin at the Cranbourne Trials on Monday, and I'd certainly throw Brad on him there. But no, like we pretty much set in our routine here. So if he indicated to me that he wanted to have a couple of sits on him, but I don't think there's a big necessity for that. But if we take him to Cranbourne, which I'm thinking I probably will at this stage, he can just have a burn round on him there. But it's not a fitness gathering exercise. It's just more experience for the horse leaving the gates and going anti-clockwise, you know, rather than what he's been used to.
Well, we can't wait until we get to see Incentivise, but we need something before that, Moods.
Oh.
Your stable's been going really well. You've got a couple of intriguing runners
today.
I've
won a couple of maidens in the bush in the last couple of weeks. I'm flying.
Well,
with some ill-bred hacks?
Yes.
What about Lightsaber in the McNeil? It looks a hot addition once again of the McNeil.
He can improve. This time of year, isn't it? There's no easy kills for these horses. And he'll be a bit more competitive than he was the other day. He's probably still a runaway off his top, but I would see him probably settling in the first three or four, and I'd expect him to be a couple of lengths closer than he was on the line the other day. So he could fall into a place without surprising. It would surprise me to probably see him win at 1,200. I think he wants 1,400 in a mile, but he can run competitive.
Moods, Oxley Road... You've got me going on him. I'm a bit of a fan, but I see that the weights today don't really suit him, although it probably doesn't make as big a difference over the short trip. What do we expect from him, presuming he'll be up on speed again today?
Yeah, listen, I expect him to run extremely well, Dan, but you knocked the nail on the head. You know, facts and figures, the favourite should be $1.05, not $1.70 and $1.80, you know, on ratings and weights. And, you know, it's the Group 1 sprinting sort of weight-range superstar in waiting, and I really believe that myself. So my horse is going to have to be something special to beat him. I think he's a very good colt. At his sixth start in a race, getting a kilo and a half off a potential top-line horse, it's going to take... He'd have to be better than I think he is. I think he's a good colt, but he might have to be better than that to beat this horse under that circumstance today. I'm hoping he can. And I think he'll run very competitive, and it's set up where you would think it will be on or about the speed, and the other horse is probably going to be spotting a three or four length start, you would think, getting into the turn at Caulfield. So hopefully that gives him a chance.
Yeah, if it's a bit leaderish, and the market said you were underdone at Flemington. Are you thinking that you've made significant improvement today?
He's made good improvement. He's trained on very well in the subsequent 3 weeks. I wouldn't suggest that he was too underdone. I'm not in the habit of running horses that aren't fit. But he ran well, and the way I took that is the horse went home very confident and thinking that he had won the race. You know, he beat his division by a couple of lengths down the inside, and you know, one out wide bloused him and a pretty handy little filly at that. Whether did he switch off without sort of being that little bit competitive or whatever down there on his own, I don't know. But he has taken very good improvement off it.
You've got a bit of a problem today. You're running good horses against very good horses. You've got Oxley Road against Masked Crusader, and you've got Lightsaber against Artorias, who was an absolute star 2-year-old. What about that scenario today in the McNeil?
Yeah, no, I'm with you. But I think I'm happy to have a crack at them at 7 or a mile with a bit more confidence than I am at 1,200. I'm just wondering, they might have a just sort of bounce off that turn a bit sharper than Lightsaber.
And also with Diamonds in the Sky up against probably an instant celebrity. She's pretty quick, Pete. Did she just take the foot off the pedal at about the 600 last start? Is she a better runner, or does she need to be sort of saved up for a furlong and then have another crack?
I would have thought probably on both occasions, and probably not through a lot of fault of the riders, she's gone too hard at her two first up runs where she could control the tempo better. And I've got to be honest, the reason she's in this race, we're hoping that might be the case today. But not kidding ourselves, we've got a benchmark 70-odd mare taking on, once again, Group 1 quality, well, not Group 1 quality, genuine Group 1 mares in the top two. So I'm hoping Preble can control the tempo a bit more on her and give herself a chance to bounce off that turn at Caulfield and give them something to catch sort of down on the weights. So that's the play we're going with her today.
Moods, best of luck.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.